SBS Radio.
Shalom, Australia. A Palestinian attacker rammed his car into a group of IDF soldiers in Jerusalem on Wednesday night, wounding 12 before fleeing the scene. One of the 12 soldiers, who were all from the Golani Brigade, was seriously wounded and underwent surgery, and another sustained moderate wounds. The other 10 were lightly hurt. The soldiers, who were all new recruits on an educational heritage tour, did not open fire at their attacker. The manhunt, which ensued, centred around the town of Bet Jala, where the assailant left the vehicle used in the incident. Police later arrested Sand Al-Turman, a 25-year-old East Jerusalem resident with no prior security violations. Shortly before the attack, he published a Facebook post saying he had found the answer, and another saying, "Whoever seeks peace with the enemy is living under an illusion, never surrender." The Jerusalem Magistrates Court on Friday extended his remand by 10 days. Truman's brother told the court that the incident was not a terror attack, but was a traffic incident after the driver accidentally mounted the sidewalk in his vehicle. A border policeman was lightly wounded in a shooting attack near the Temple Mount in Jerusalem on Thursday. The assailant, 44-year-old Shadi Bana, was shot dead by security forces. Rescue personnel were called to the scene near the Lion's Gate to treat the 38-year-old border policeman. Hours after the shooting attack, the police were already conducting a raid at the family home of the perpetrator in Haifa. Law enforcement officials also raided the flower shop where Bana worked, seizing computers and personal belongings in an attempt to understand what made a regular salesman turn to violence. Shimon Sabag, Bana's neighbour, said he used to meet with him every morning. Sabag said he was a quiet type. "I know he converted lately to Islam, but he didn't talk much. He was very well mannered." An IDF soldier was lightly hurt on Thursday afternoon in a shooting at an army post in the central West Bank, the third attack on Israeli security forces in less than a day. Large numbers of soldiers, police officers and emergency personnel were dispatched to the scene, trying to establish whether the shooting was carried out from a passing car or from a remote location by a sniper. The most alarming security incident of the new wave of violence shaking up the West Bank and Jerusalem over Wednesday-Thursday occurred in Jenin. Security services overnight on Wednesday conducted a partial demolition of a house belonging to the family of the murderer of Rabbi Raziel Shevach in January 2018. Although the house had been demolished in the past, the structure was rebuilt, prompting the IDF to raise parts of the building for the second time. At least four masked groups, wearing all black, began firing at soldiers with AK-47 and M16 assault rifles as soon as they arrived in the area. The gunfire was accompanied by a 200-strong mob hurling rocks, Molotov cocktails and explosives at the soldiers. The IDF snipers, who took positions on the roofs of the building in the neighbourhood, began firing back at the militants, leading to a violent exchange that lasted almost 2 hours. In addition, explosives planted under the military's vehicles began detonating during the battle. According to the initial inquiry, the fight ended at around 3:30 a.m. when Israeli forces were finally evacuated from the area. The two Palestinians killed during the incident were armed. A Palestinian protester was shot dead in the West Bank on Friday, raising the Palestinian death toll from the violence of the week to four. A Palestinian police officer was also shot dead in the unrest earlier in the day. Palestinian authorities said he was killed by Israeli gunfire, but Israel has not commented. There were sporadic clashes between protesters and Israeli security forces near Azun, where the funeral was held of the policeman. Palestinians also clashed with Israeli troops in Jericho and burnt tires in the West Bank village of Bilin. The IDF said dozens of Palestinian rioters had hurled rocks and firebombs at troops, and soldiers had identified a Palestinian who threw a firebomb and responded with fire in order to remove the threat. One of the protesters, former Knesset member Mohammed Barakeh, said the Palestinian people will not allow the deal of the century to pass. They are fighting for their national character and the independence of their country. Mahmoud Abbas's Palestinian Authority has rejected Trump's peace plan, this deal of the century, which would give Israel most of Jerusalem and nearly all the disputed land on which it has built settlements. Palestinian negotiator Sarab Arakat said Washington was to blame for the unrest since the plan was unveiled. He said Abbas would be going to the UN Security Council with a genuine peace plan. David El-Hayani, who chairs the Yesha Council, umbrella organisation of settler leaders, said that Prime Minister Netanyahu told settler leaders on Wednesday night that he is seeking to annex parts of the West Bank before the elections early next month, despite US opposition to the move. But Gush Etzion regional chairman Shlomo Ne'eman admitted that the possibility of immediate annexation appeared less likely at the moment. On Tuesday, at an election campaign meeting, the Prime Minister said a Likud victory would enable him to implement Trump's plan, including annexation of the Jordan Valley. President Reuven Rivlin called on Tuesday for the resumption of direct peace negotiations between Israelis and Palestinians following the release of US President Donald Trump's peace plan. Addressing several dozen US military officers visiting Israel as part of a mission organized by the Jewish Institute for National Security of America, Rivlin stated that a vision of peace with our Palestinian neighbors is a realistic one. At least five suspected airborne explosive devices launched from the Gaza Strip were found in southern Israel on Friday. Police said sappers were sent to retrieve the suspicious objects in the town of Sderot near the Gaza border, as well as Chof Ashkelon and the Lachish region. Suspected balloon-borne explosive devices were also found in agricultural fields in the Merchavim and Shah HaNegev regions. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Monday met with the transitional leader of Sudan, Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, during a whirlwind visit to Uganda. Netanyahu and Burhan met secretly in Entebbe in the residence of Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni and agreed to gradually normalize relations. Airstrikes killed 23 Syrian and foreign fighters in Syria on Thursday. Syria has said the attacks were carried out by Israel. There was no confirmation from Israel. Included in the death toll were three Iranians and seven Tehran-backed foreign fighters killed near the Kizwa, south of the capital. On Tuesday night, an ad hoc Knesset committee granted Likud MK Chaim Katz immunity from prosecution in one of only a few examples of such immunity being granted since 2005. Short of the decision being overturned by the full Knesset, the High Court of Justice, or a future Knesset, Katz will never have to defend charges of fraud and breach of trust brought against him by Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit. And 19-year-old Eden Eleni on Tuesday won the honour of representing Israel in the 2020 Eurovision Song Contest with a rendition of the Beyoncé song, Hello. Over 2 million Israelis participated in the vote. Throughout the contest, Eleni was supported by her religiously observant single mother, Zahava Varkanesh, who has worked to support Eleni during the last 16 years of her singing and voice training. She worked as a housekeeper to support the family. Eleni, who was born and raised in Jerusalem before recently moving to Kiryat Gat, has been on a musical path since the age of three when she first attended a local conservatory. Eleni's win has been a significant one for Israel and its Ethiopian community, as she will be the first Israeli of Ethiopian descent to represent the Jewish state at Eurovision. This is Peter Jones Pelach, reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.